Welcome back. Chucky's come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond, and we're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Joining us now is Ian Harditz, fantasy football writer for Fantasy Life. What's up, Ian?
What's going on, fellas? Happy fantasy draft season.
I know. It's here.
Everybody's fired up for fantasy. I actually have a college fantasy league starting at 10 a.m., the draft.
Ooh. Today, yeah. I had
one. Of those rolling drafts.
I had one last weekend.
Those get savage, man. You think you know college football until you get into about round five or so and start seeing a bunch of guys you've never heard of.
Yeah. Well, in college fantasy, you just got to be very aware and alert each week of what guys are doing because, you know, it's not like the NFL where you know when a guy gets hurt. I mean, they're going to flash an injury caveat on the TV. Hey, this guy's hurt. He's banged up. He's going to be out weeks 3, 4, 5. But in college, you got to stay on top of that. You know what I mean?
100%. There's even one league called Campus to Canton where you go all the way from. Yeah, I mean, I'm not breaking news to you, but that's where the real sickos are at. But, you know, I appreciate all forms of fantasy. We're all just having fun either way.
I think we've got a few of those sickos here. Campus to Canton sickos. So we wanted to talk to you about Cliff Kingsbury's offense because you have some interesting notes about Kingsbury. People here are excited, kind of. The perception is he's this offensive wizard. What should Commanders fans expect from the offense this year led by Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, so opening caveat whenever I mention any of these stats, yes, guys, I understand this is just the preseason. You know, it's not going to exactly be what we see here in a couple of short weeks. But you know what? It's the best we're working with right now. So I do think when we can find, again, more extreme trends at either end of the spectrum, maybe that can help lead us onto something. And just in terms of what we've seen through these first 8 quarters with the Commanders, this really does look pretty similar to exactly what Kingsbury was doing in Arizona. You know, whether it's looking at Terry McLaurin's alignment, I mean, literally just being out there as the offense's left outside wide receiver for 28 of his 29 snaps, saw the exact same phenomenon with DeAndre Hopkins. This is also a situation where we have a 56% no huddle rate right now, second highest team in the preseason at just 13%. That's another similarity we saw from Arizona. Dead last in pre-snap shift motion rate, you know, 31st in play action rate, just a lot of things that, again, we saw plenty of the time in Arizona. And not to come out here and say that those Arizona offenses were all terrible, but, you know, it has been a while since I think Kingsbury has kind of lived up to that offensive mastermind, you know, sort of reputation. Overall, from 2019 to 2022, those Cardinals offenses were 16th, 13th, 11th, and 21st in total points scored. So don't think he was exactly, you know, cooking with gas in terms of the personnel they had in Arizona. But then again, in Washington, outside of Jaden and obviously Terry McLaurin, don't exactly think this is the world's best offensive environment ever. So we'll see what happens. But so far, it really has been a bit too, you know, for my liking at least, a bit too similar to some of those collegiate spread offenses, you know, really stationary pre-snap than maybe we would have preferred.
Just to kind of defend Kingsbury before we get into some other stuff, and I did this a couple segments ago, when he was in Arizona, all right, Kyler Murray was a rookie his first year. They had a bad year. He took 50 sacks, but he did finish ninth in the league in pass attempts. The second year, the team got better. They went 8-8. The offense got better. He was seventh in pass attempts. Third year, his best year, they went to the playoffs. He was 19th in pass attempts, but James Conner came in, and he was the running back as opposed to Kenyon Drake. So he leaned on James Conner a little bit more, so it was more of a balance. And then that fourth year, when you mentioned that the points per game went down, Kyler got hurt that year, even though they weren't very good even when he was playing. But I think they got better his first 3 years, and especially points per game. It went from like 22 to 26, almost 27. So the offense did get better under Kingsbury in those first 3 years.
For sure, and I think, you know, a big point is that no huddle rate, that ability to play with a fast pace. And you said it yourself, man, like Kyler and even James Conner put up some big-time numbers because of that. When we're creating more plays in a game, it is shrinking the variance, and that should allow some of your better players to go out there and get more opportunities to make plays. But, you know, is that really what we want to do this year for the 2024 Washington Commanders? Do we want to be in these constant track meets? Because I don't know about you guys, but I saw what that defense looked like down the stretch of last year. I mean, it's not like they were really covering covering anybody in the first half. And then, yeah, guess what? You take away your two best pass rushers and things get that much worse. So, look, this just, to me, seems like more of the mindset that you want to see from an offense in college when you have someone like Patrick Mahomes, like Kingsbury obviously did at Texas Tech, or if you're playing, you know, with the Kansas City Chiefs or Buffalo Bills right now, having all those plays in the game, we love that in fantasy land. We'll take as many opportunities with the football as we can get. But for real-life purposes, just not so sure I'm the highest on what Cliff is bringing to the table right now.
All right.
I think you referenced Josh Norris's numbers about Jaden Daniels specifically on his 15 dropbacks. And two of the things that he had noted was he's getting rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds. The quickest the NFL last season was 2.36 seconds. And his air yards per attempt so far has been below last season's shortest in the NFL at 5.5 yards. What have you seen from Jaden? Running is different, but in terms of the passing game.
Yeah, and he certainly made some nice throws. I mean, that opening pearl down the right sideline to Dyami Brown, I mean, you can put that up there with really anything we've seen in the preseason. But then again, I mean, Jaden said himself that he actually had to audible to that play to make it happen in the first place. So, look, I think if anyone watched Jaden Daniels at LSU, I mean, we saw plenty of deep dives down the sideline to guys like Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. time and time again. And we also saw the speed that helped the dude win the freaking Heisman Trophy, for crying out loud. But we also haven't quite seen Daniels, you know, admittedly have to do some of the tougher things that he was being criticized for, i.e. throwing the ball a bit more over the middle and just dealing with pressure. I mean, last season at LSU, only 48% of Daniels' pressure dropbacks actually ended up resulting in a pass attempt. I mean, that was the fourth lowest mark among 147 qualified quarterbacks. So, again, watching the film, to me, it wasn't ever a situation of Daniels not necessarily getting through his progressions. I think he's very good at that. But you would see plenty of examples that the rare occasions when pressure would come, it seemed like Daniels would kind of drop his eyes and just revert into a runner. And guess what? When you're as fast as he is, and especially when you're playing college defenses, it worked out more times than not for him. But at the NFL level, things are going to be a bit more tight. So I was kind of laughing at that scramble he had last week. Gains like 12 yards, and you saw Dan Quinn telling him, get down, and Daniels kind of acknowledging it as well. Man, if that sort of play was already getting Dan Quinn nervous, man, I'm worried to see what's going to happen once Daniels starts again, reverting to a bit more of that reckless man in the open field we've seen. You mentioned the Josh Norris stats, but loved the comp that actually Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports had for Jaden Daniels coming out, basically saying that when he's in the open field, got a bit of Johnny Knoxville to his game in terms of the hits he's taken. So stay healthy, get down, Jaden. But yeah, for right now, again, he's played fine in the preseason, but I don't think it's been anything that we necessarily weren't expecting coming in.
So just from a fantasy standpoint, what are you looking at from Washington offensively? Where do you like McLaurin? Where do you rank him? Is he like a legit number two receiver? Do you like him a little bit below that just based on the numbers? Or is he a legit number two? And then with Jaden, FanDuel has his total passing touchdowns set at 16.5. Do you like the over there if he stays healthy? And then where do you like Jaden in fantasy, especially in a super flex?
16.5 seems a little low. I mean, I'll take the slide over, but at the same time, not exactly expecting, you know, 30, 35 passing scores out of him this year. But you know what? In fantasy football, I mean, the two archetypes that we continuously see kind of bust the game and, you know, dictate differently relative to what we're seeing in real life are rushing quarterbacks and then high volume receiving running backs who maybe we'll see Austin Eckler, you know, resume having that role. But again, we just don't see quarterbacks who run as much as Jaden really bust in fantasy land. 27 quarterbacks have had at least 100 carries in a season over the past 10 years. All but three of them went on to finish as a top 12 fantasy quarterback. And I mean, 41% of those guys were even top three. So guys, I mean, Tim Tebow and Taysom Hill, probably the two worst passers that we have seen in the modern NFL, they were still putting up top eight fantasy numbers just by virtue of, again, running the ball more times than not when they drop back to pass. So Jaden Daniels, even if, you know, we can't quite get him up into that QB6, QB7, QB8 tier with guys like Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, and, you know, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, I do think he is right behind them, certified top 10 quarterback, where if you get into round 9 or 10 of your one QB draft, I certainly think he's in play. Super flex, he's going to be more so, again, probably in those early middle stages of round 2. So I'm sure I don't need to tell you guys about some of the horror stories you can get into if you really overly fade quarterbacks in the super flex format. So I have no concerns with, you know, taking Jaden as a round 2 pick, because again, even if the real life struggles could be there early on, on, I think his archetype and just playing style is going to fit in just fine in fantasy land. As for Terry McLaurin, really hoping we see him finally, you know, break out of this wide receiver three sort of fantasy, not slump he's been in. He's obviously a great player, but man, when you just talk about this generation's Andre Johnson or Allen Robinson just stuck with one bad quarterback after another, I mean, it's tough to say Terry McLaurin and DJ Moore aren't really topping that list. So, hey, as much as I mentioned the DeAndre Hopkins, you know, esque alignment for Terry, Hopkins had over 1,400 yards during his lone full season in Arizona with 160 targets. So if he is going to be featured as Kingsbury's clear-cut number one wide receiver, which would make sense to me, especially considering the lack of kind of a proven guy behind him, with all due respect to Dawson, I do think that Terry is going to have an opportunity to really rise above where he's being drafted right now. So currently a guy that you can see wide receiver 31, wide receiver 32 in ADP on more sites than not. I think guys like Terry McLaurin and Amari Cooper going in that range as well really stand out as ballers who, yeah, have a few questions with their overall offensive environment, but just like it's tough for rushing quarterbacks to bust, tough for a wide receiver that could see 150-plus targets be too bad in fantasy as well.
Talking to Ian Harditz, fantasy football writer for Fantasy Life. I'm intrigued to hear where you have Anthony Richardson, because you're talking about cheat codes and the little amount of play he had last year. He looked like he was going to be a fantasy superstar. Coming off an injury, missed a ton of games last year. How do you see him? Where's he ranked amongst your quarterbacks?
You're not kidding, man. I mean, two full games, he had 20.9 and 29.6 fantasy points. And even that week two contest against the Texans, 17.7 fantasy points on just 18 snaps. I mean, this dude was number one in fantasy points per dropback last year for a reason. So one of my most drafted quarterbacks of the offseason. I mean, I know it might sound weird to have Anthony Richardson already ranked inside the top six when we've only seen him play, you know, a handful of games at the professional level. But again, this sort of archetype just doesn't really bust in fantasy land. So yes, you're spot on, man. Anthony Richardson and Jaden Daniels, really two guys that I think everyone in traditional leagues, 4-point passing touchdowns, should be making a habit of grabbing. So if I am going to be spending up on a quarterback, I want them to have that ability to break fantasy football, the Jalen Hurst and Josh Allens of the world. And really, I do think that goal line rushing role is what could separate Richardson from guys like Daniels and even Lamar Jackson, because his head coach, obviously Shane Steichen, was making things happen with Jalen Hurst in that Eagles offense, and, you know, arguably deserves a lot of credit for popularizing the, you know, tush push as it began. So that is the difference, I think, between someone like Richardson and Kyler and even Jaden Daniels, where last year, in terms of quarterback rush attempts inside the five-yard line, there's Jalen Hurts number one at 16, Josh Allen number two at 14, and then no other quarterback had more than five. So I do think Richardson, even if they're going to, you know, protect his health, I mean, we heard Shane Steichen say it, where he wouldn't, you know, be asking Steph Curry to shoot fewer three-pointers, so he's not going to be taking the foot off the gas with Richardson's rushing work just yet either. So maybe a bit of a lofty comparison for a guy with, you know, four career NFL starts to his name, but, you know, God only makes so many humans that are 6'4", 255, and can run a 4'4". So Richardson, just like Daniels, even if we see, you know, some normal growing pains as a real-life passer, just think he runs more than enough to still make it work in fantasy land.
All right, so in terms of receivers, where do you have, I assume you have Justin Jefferson as a first rounder, but do you expect his numbers to dip considerably considering what quarterbacks throw into him? Number one. Number two, rookie receivers, guys like Harrison Jr., guys like Neighbors, guys like Odunze, where do you have those guys? And also, speaking of receivers, Ayuk and CD still not in camp. I assume that you still have CD as maybe the number one receiver, if not number two, behind Tyreek. But should fantasy owners kind of be alert on numbers being slow out of the gate because they just haven't been around?
Yeah, so first of all, with Jefferson, it's one of those things where I think people that are even low on him don't have him ranked lower than like wide receiver five. So we're ultimately debating should he be like the fifth or sixth player off the board or more like the seventh or eighth. So personally, the only wide receivers I'm taking ahead of him at the moment are the one you named, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, and then Ja'Marr Chase. But man, if we get another week closer to the year and got Chase and CeeDee still holding, you know, in and out respectively, going to be tough not to push him up a little bit. So yes, we have seen, you know, very mixed results in the past of these wide receivers having, you know, iffy signal callers under center. And even, you know, look no further than the guy we mentioned earlier, DeAndre Hopkins, and what he had to do during that Houston year with Brock Osweiler to see a truly great wide receiver suffer from ineptitude under center. So Jefferson, you know, maybe he is just that much better than every other wide receiver to make things work. But, you know, we saw it last year with Jamar Chase and Jake Browning under center, and even to an extent with Jefferson. I know people love throwing out the Nick Mullins stat and, you know, how Jefferson was on the 2,000 yardage pace during those four games without Kirk Cousins. But, you know, unfortunately, the Vikings only get to play the Lions twice per year. So not so sure we can exactly take that pace and extrapolate it to 17 games. So Jefferson's still my wide receiver four, but I get if people want to take, you know, quote-unquote safer options like Bijan Robinson, like Breece Hall at that spot in the first round. With some of the rookie wide receivers, tough to be too low on Marvin Neighbors, just because not only did they fall into offenses that obviously appreciate their talents, wouldn't have been drafted as top six if they didn't, but man, such little target competition for both. I mean, with all due respect to Trey McBride, Marvin Harrison Jr. should be the engine of that Kyler Murray-led offense from the beginning, and Malik Neighbors, there's just even less to worry about there. So just like with Jefferson, not exactly looking at the best quarterback situations in the world. Kyler's certainly better than Darnold and, you know, Daniel Jones and everything. But it really does come down to, okay, with Malik Neighbors, when we're talking about the potential for 150-plus targets, tough to be too low on the guys. So Neighbors for me is my wide receiver 14 right there with guys like Jalen Waddle, Nico Collins, you know, Deebo Samuel, who, yes, they are, in my opinion, at this point in time, better wide receivers and offenses we can trust more. But with enough target competition, I do think Neighbors makes things a lot closer just by the virtue of, again, being such a clear-cut number one in New York. And as for CeeDee Lamb, just get it done, Jerry. You've been talking about going all in, all offseason. Just sign your best player already because, again, even if I don't have data on it, you guys see as much as I do. When these guys hold out and they suddenly get signed, they come back in and try to get back up to 100, just feel like there's a worrying, you know, track record of those guys getting a little bit more banged up early on in the year than we would prefer. But, again, every time we look at any wide receiver in fantasy, we're ultimately zeroing in on four factors most of the time. Like, how good is the player? What kind of target competition does he have? Is it an offensive environment that's going to give him a bunch of targets and scoring opportunities? And does he have a good quarterback? And just in terms of those four factors, I don't think anyone clears it as well as CeeDee because, again, Dak, even if you don't think he's a top three or top five quarterback, I think we can all probably safely assume top 10, top 12. Mm-hmm. No target competition in Dallas. He's entering his prime, you know, 25 years young, I believe. And, again, just someone that we have so few question marks about as long as he can get on the football field. So, for my money's worth right now, it is still Christian McCaffrey first overall. But, man, if CeeDee Lamb, you know, in the next few hours signs that contract, I even think in, you know, a three wide receiver starting format, full PPR, CeeDee's as good as pick as anyone at the top of the draft.
Great stuff, Ian. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Ian Hardis, fantasy football writer for Fantasy Life. Remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, Mike Rizzo, GM of your Washington Nationals.